It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Somebody made a comment of Sal in prison. We do have the center block walls here.
You're about 10 seconds away from spending the rest of your life in the padded room.
They treat us very well here, actually.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline. Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Calle, Owen Parker here with you. Sal, he's not in prison. He's driving home, by the way, from training camp, so we don't have to worry about that. Sal, thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, they let me out for the day. I got some
good behavior.
Good behavior, yeah. So I got to get back. I'm on a schedule here. So yeah, good to talk with you guys.
All right. Well, Sal, we'll start with the elephant in the room, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Yeah. Is there anything you know of or can tell us? I know it's training camp, but there's like different rules of what you can and can't say and all that stuff, so I don't want to go too far into
it.
What do you think?
It's okay. This wouldn't fall under anything other than what I know and what I can tell you and share that was said to us, which is, you know, that he was injured in what appeared to be non-contact. And, you know, nobody really saw him collide with anybody or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was down for a little while, on the grass. Some trainers went to talk to him. He got up and he couldn't really put much pressure on his right leg. It appeared his right lower leg, his ankle / foot / Achilles. I included all these. I'm not sure exactly where, right? Like you could see video. There's plenty of video out there. You guys can watch. And then he got up and people helped him over to a cart or to a cart and then a tent. And then he did walk to a cart and got driven back to the locker room training area. After practice, we talked to Deion Dawkins. Deion was one of the first players over to him. And we said, what did you see? What did you say to him? And Deion, I tweeted this out at Sal Sports. People can read the exact quote word for word. He said that he went up to him and said, you good? You okay? He said he started walking, but he said that the coaches said he'll be okay and he'll be back in the loop. And look, I think Deion also is a very positive thinker and a positive talker.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for Deion to be right that CJ Gardner-Johnson is okay. But in what context is anybody telling him he's okay? You know, it could be he's in good spirits. It could be, hey, we'll take care of him. He's okay. No one's going to know anything until more tests are done. And that's where last part of this, which is we did talk to Brandon Bean. We even told him what Deion said, but Brandon said, look, tests have to be done. We don't know anything. And Brandon said, I'm serious, guys. Like, I don't know anything right now.
Yeah.
Like, we got to have tests done,
right.
MRI. So we'll see on it. There's a lot of people who obviously, as you guys know, analyze these sorts of videos and say, well, I think it's this. I think it's that. I think it's this serious, that. I'm not going to do any of that until, you know, we hear from somebody officially on what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And to that point, like, I read the Deion quote and thought that sounds like a guy that's in an awkward spot and doesn't want to say anything that's going to make anybody feel good or bad about the situation.
Sure.
And so you guys obviously have to ask the question. He's got to find a way to answer it. It felt like it was as close as Deion could get to a non-answer on the topic. So I tried not to pull too much out of what Deion said. Like you mentioned, Brandon Bean will be the authority on this, and he said we got to take a look.
I mean, you know, Deion's an offensive player. He was over there. We even asked a couple defensive backs, including DeMar Hamlin and Cole Bishop, and both of them said they didn't hear anything from the coaches. Like, nobody said anything. Now, they also maybe, you know, also in that spot where they don't want to say anything that they've heard. So, again, let's just wait. Remember, guys, it was a year ago, like this week, that everything happened with Max Hairston.
Right.
Right? And there was a lot of speculation and talk and rumors. And, I mean, I just think we live in this world now where this media world, where there's such a rush to have the information first. Let's just wait and get it right.
Let's
see what the GM tells us.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's not worth speculating right now. We'll get the information when we get the information and it's confirmed.
Right.
But let's, you know, take it for a stretch here. If CJ Gardner-Johnson is to miss some time, whether it be, you know, three games or the season, depending on the severity of whatever injury may or may not be there, what are we looking at to replace him? I've seen a lot about Jalen Kilgore's performance already, which would be convenient.
Yeah.
But what have you seen from some of the other safeties that you could kind of give us some insight into what it could look like if Gardner-Johnson is out?
The hype has been real for Jalen Kilgore, the things you're reading. He's been very good. He was maybe my favorite draft pick of this class. I thought the Bills got very good value in him. He can play all over the field in the secondary. Really not outside necessarily, but maybe in a pinch he could. But he can be nickel. He can be a big safety. He can be a safety. He can do a lot of different things for you. He can be the box. He can be center field. So, you know, he's got a kind of a plug-and-play guy in that respect. But he is a rookie. You know, he has been playing more with the backups. So if he gets an opportunity with the starters, let's see where that goes. I'm encouraged by that. That said, C.J. Gardner-Johnson may have been the best defender so far through 2 days of camp. I mean, that's how well that he's playing. So that's a tough replacement. You do have veterans there. Immediately, it was DeMar Hamlin, I think, on the field that I saw today. DeMar and Geno Stone, I would think, would get the first cracks at competing for that starting job if C.J. Gardner-Johnson were to miss any time. But I think eventually you have to start looking at Jalen Kilgore because he looks the part and he's been playing the part so far. And, I mean, that would be an ideal situation other than obviously not having C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You'd love to have him. But if you don't and this kid steps up and can really ball, then, you know, that'd be great for the Bills. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. But I think that, you know, he'll get every opportunity if that's the case.
Sal Capaccio with us here on the Western Hotline. Sal, looking at just injuries around the league as well, Ricky Pearsall is now expected to undergo season-ending surgery on his PCL injury, right? And the PCL has been a point of concern for Dalton Kincaid the last couple seasons. Not yet, knocking on wood at this point in training camp, as far as we know. But is that something everyone there is kind of keeping an eye on? Are you noticing anything that you're seeing knee-wise or that he's favoring, anything like that? Or has he just looked pretty normal out there?
No, he's been out there taking every rep. There's been no load management from what I can see. Mm-hmm. He's not even wearing a brace, guys. Like, he doesn't have a sleeve or anything from what I can tell on Dalton Kincaid. I mean, he just – and this goes back to minicamp even. He looked good. I think he looks bigger too. Like, he looks like he's gained weight. Meaning, like, the good kind of weight. You know, he looks bigger and stronger. And, you know, even last year he was a little bit. I think it's even more so this year. So I don't think there's any concern on that. You know, as training camp goes on, we'll see if there's any sort of load management. Let's remember, there's no 3 days in a row at all other than next week, this coming week when they go Thursday, Friday, and then the red and blue, if you want to count that. That'd be 3 days in a row. But there's nothing 3 days in a row at camp. I mean, they were off yesterday. They went today. They're off tomorrow. Then they go 2 days, they're off again. So, you know, that helps with if you're going to load manage. A lot of times it's those 3 day in a row stretches these guys have. So I haven't seen anything with load management with him. He looks like he's running well, he's fluid. And, you know, I'm excited if Dalton Kincaid for this offense, if he can be full go healthy all the time.
Yeah, Kincaid is, I mean, we've talked about him all offseason long, really, as a real key cog in this machine. If he can stay healthy and on the field. And there's a receiver that I think could be similar, but I think has gotten much more, I don't know, cast aside. I don't know, maybe that's too strong, but Josh Palmer has made a couple of plays. I read today he had another decent day today. That's another guy that I think health is really the main concern. We saw him make an impact in the Atlanta game early last season. What have you been seeing from Josh Palmer, and what sort of how confident are you in his ability to stay healthy moving forward for the Bills here?
Family lost you guys.
Oh, we were just talking. Owen asked about Josh Palmer.
Yeah, I just was asking about Josh Palmer. How's he looking? Does he look healthy? And what do you think? What kind of impact do you think he could have if he's able to stay healthy with the Bills this season?
We lost Sal. He dropped off.
Oh,
we're gonna have to get back to Sal.
I got you.
There we go. We're back. All right. One more time.
It's always a spot over here, like near Pembroke. You guys ever have that dead spot?
Yes.
We actually did the other day driving
back
from the
Odyssey. You're talking about.
We went to the movie in Rochester, and we had a dead spot on the way back, noticeably. So,
right.
Yeah,
I think it's always around here. So let's hope this stays on. But I did get most of the question. It was Josh Palmer. And I would say, yes, reports of Josh Palmer's death have been greatly exaggerated, to use a literature term, guys.
Yes.
I mean, he's been good. I think he's had a good connection with Josh. And look, I think Josh Palmer is going to do whatever he can to make sure that he's holding off Skylar Bell and Keon Coleman. And wouldn't it be great if everybody is just kind of fighting for that number three spot and it's not by default, right? That'd be great for this team if that were to happen. I think the Bills really want Josh Palmer to be a part of the offense. Like, Brandon Bean, he signed him last year to a nice deal and kind of held him up as, look, I went and got Josh Palmer. Everybody talks about receiver. Here's a guy I brought in that's going to help us. And then it just didn't work. He wasn't healthy a lot for the year. He had the ankle injury. He comes back, has that great catch to start the Atlanta game, gets injured, and it just never worked out for Joshua Palmer. And, you know, now, I mean, we'll see. So far, I think today was a good day for him, for sure.
Sal Capaccio with us on the West Her Hotline. Sal, also, we heard from Pete Carmichael this morning. We played that in the last hour, so thanks for getting that to us. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Also, he mentioned James Cook receiving yards for him, getting the ball more. We've seen that a little bit from training camp already, him catching passes. What are you making of that? You think we're going to see a lot more of James Cook in the receiving game this season as opposed to seasons past where Joe Brady kind of took over and that kind of fell off a little bit?
Yeah, the Bills had a healthy dose of that today. That's all the running backs. Today, the Bills had a healthy dose of running backs catching the ball in the backfield. Some were designed, some were just checkdowns from the quarterbacks, but it definitely happened today. Yeah, guys, this goes back a while. It's something I've been saying for quite a while. You have the trail of breadcrumbs here. Let's remember where Pete Carmichael Jr. came from. I mean, he was in San Diego with LaDainian Tomlinson catching the ball out of the backfield.
That's right.
He was in New Orleans with Alvin Kamara catching the ball out of the backfield. I mean, this has been a part in his of staple of his the offenses that he's been with. He came up under Norv Turner. You know what I mean? Like Sean Payton. These guys, that's what they do. They throw the ball to running backs out of the backfield a lot. And I think that's something that, you know, when they hired him was something I immediately thought of that maybe we'll get here. Now, it doesn't have to be all James Cook. The Bills really like Ty Johnson as their third down back. He catches the ball well. He's a good blocking, third down, you know, pass blocking back. So it might not be a huge uptick from James Cook. There might be. I mean, you take a look at James Cook's touches last year. Take a look at his rushes. He had over 300.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you siphon some of them off and they become some sort of pass, right? I mean, you can see that too. But yeah, I do think the Bills will incorporate that. I mean, Deion Dawkins lost like 20 pounds.
He looks significantly lighter. When he showed up to training camp, he posted a picture of him in a tighter T-shirt, and I could not believe how light he looked compared to last year.
Yeah, he and I asked him today, like, what does that do for you? And he's talking about getting out of his stance with being able to move more. And I wonder, too, part of me wonders, did Joe Brady and Pete Carmichael say, Deion, we want you to be lighter because we're going to throw to the running backs more and get you out in space to lead block for them when we do that. You know, I mean, that would be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that we're going to see more of that. Now, you have Josh Allen. You know, you want to throw the ball down the field. So I don't think it's going to be necessarily to the numbers and level that I just talked about with a LaDainian Tomlinson or Alvin Kamara. But I do think they're going to see an uptick there.
Sal, Keon Coleman, everyone kind of had their eyes on to start. He dropped the early pass and then rebounded from there. Is it a no news is good news situation for Keon? Because I feel like his name really hasn't been floating around all that much in the last couple practices, more so than day one, I should say.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think there's so much focus on him. And really, the more of a negative approach of, yes, there's been a positive part of it, but it's more of a, no one cares what he does positive. Show me what he does in the regular season, right? Like, that's been the mantra.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. You can show me all the catches he makes. You can show me how good he makes. I don't care. And that's fine. I totally get that. I mean, rightfully so. But if no one's saying anything, then that might be good because people aren't noticing the bad things or the negatives or drops or saying he's slow getting out of a break or anything like that. So, and then, hey, with the emergence of Josh Palmer today, for example, with some focus on Skylar Bell, you know, I mean, they're Keon's in a battle here. And yeah, the no news, good news, no news might be good news with him because might mean he's just doing his job. And that might be where it has to start for Keon Coleman.
Absolutely. All right. Well, moving back to the defensive side of the ball, Sal, for a minute here, we saw Dorian Williams and Terrell Bernard get on the field for some 7-on-7, 11-on-11 reps. How critical do you think that is? I know we're all sort of falling in love with the Caleb Ealarmzor pick right now, but if we can have both those two players healthy, how big of a factor do you think that is for this Bills defense as they transition into a new scheme under Jim Leonard?
I mean, it's massive to have as many hands on deck as they can, right? If they, it just gives them more options, more flexibility. You know, I really like what Caleb Ealarmzor is doing. And to have Terrell Bernard come back today and actually take 11-on-11, I didn't see Dorian out there for 11-on-11. He might have had a couple plays, but he definitely was out there 7-on-7 for the first time in a while. And then Bernard was out there for 11-on-11. And if Williams was out there for 11-on-11, I think it was more of the, like, jog.
Oh, we might have lost Sal there again.
Losing Sal.
Yep. You there?
Yeah, we got you back.
You're back.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I didn't see Williams out there completely for 11-on-11. It might have been a little bit of the lighter stuff, but Terrell Bernard was, and Williams was out there for more 7-on-7. More flexibility for sure. But I think they just need more depth at linebacker to feel better about it, right? Like, you don't want to go in a season and go, okay, we have Caleb Lee Armazora, looks really good, but what's happening with Terrell Bernard? What's happening with Dorian Williams? And then you got Joe Andreessen and Keontae Jenkins. Should we call Shaq Thompson? The more these guys can all be available and play, the more it's going to help this entire group. Because I think they, like, the best way I put it is, I think they feel better about their linebackers when they're all healthy than maybe a lot of the fans do.
Gotcha. Well, Sal Capaccio with us on the Western Hotline. Sal, the defense, sticking there for a moment. Ed Oliver, Jim Leonard in his presser mentioned offenses are going to have to find him. What have you seen from Oliver? I know it's kind of tough. Owen and I were going to ask you about this too. What can you really gauge from an offensive or defensive tackle position or guard, whatever, from training camp pre-pads? Because, I mean, they're not really ripping at each other or anything like that. But have you seen anything from Oliver also?
No, you can't really gain anything until the pads come on. And even then, guys, it's tough because you can't, like, take the quarterback down, right?
Right, right.
You're not taking guys to the ground when they're getting to you. But Ed looks like, you know, the biggest thing with that, it's got to start with him being healthy again. He was not last year again. You had ankle injuries, and he had that massive monster first game. Mm-hmm. And then he had injuries throughout the year. And I think Ed looks like he's fluid, looks like he's moving well. He wasn't completely available during OTAs and minicamp, but he wasn't, like, really hurt or anything. He said he was managing his body a little bit. That's where it's got to start for Ed Oliver. I think we're going to see more of, you know, what we want to kind of find out about Ed Oliver once the pads go on. That goes for any defensive lineman, but it also goes for any offensive lineman. I think that's going to be on Monday, I think, is when the pads are going to go on for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Sal, Michael Hoyt, just have to say, like, what an animal he is getting back in shape for this. And he's out there already doing 11-on-11s yesterday. Like, is that, were you at all surprised by him being back? I mean, the night he got injured, he tweets out, "Until death, all defeat is psychological. I'll be back." So he was ready to go in the moment he got injured to get back on the field. But seeing him now at training camp doing what he's doing, are you at all surprised by that, or were you expecting that?
I wasn't necessarily expecting it, but, I mean, nothing with this guy in that regard surprises me at this point after seeing him, to be honest with you. Like, guys, when I went out to OTAs, let's go think about when OTAs were. That was in May, right?
Yes, the Sabres were still playing.
Right. We got to OTAs in May. And this dude was doing, like, sprints with the harness on. And I'm like, man, that's crazy.
That is nuts.
Right? Yeah. And he even looked at me and said, like, we've developed a relationship over the year, last year. And he said something like, running a 4.3, Sal, or something like that. It was being facetious, but, like, he was ready. He was into it. He wanted to go. And he had to talk about how, almost like, he has to be protected from himself. He's got to listen to the trainers. He's got to listen to everybody telling him what to do and understand he just can't go out there and do it, like, himself. He's got to wait till he's ready. Then he talked about how you have to almost relearn to run a little bit because your feet feel differently once you get back out there. It was really interesting. He's a very thoughtful guy. I mean, he's an Ivy Leaguer, went to Brown. Yeah, he's a really thoughtful, and, you know, I was not surprised to see him at training camp playing on 11-on-11 because of who he is. But I would say that it's very surprising for anybody with that kind of injury in November to be as full go as he is.
Yeah. I like you, I don't think I was surprised because I was kind of starting to expect it from what he was doing. But the guy, you got to respect it at the end of the day. But Sal, thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it. And I know it was last minute, so thanks for calling us on your ride.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, if we hear anything on C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we'll let you guys know, and obviously at Sal Sports, we'll have that for you there. But have a great day, guys.
Yes, thanks, Sal. Keep up the good behavior. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sal.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us. Lots of good stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to hear, I guess, like, just everyone with Michael Hoyt. Like, he is an Ivy Leaguer. You do forget that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about it this week. The legend of him growing so large and looming so large. For him to get back, expectations do have to be tampered just a touch.
I think that's definitely right.
But, I mean, everything he's saying, he's telling Sal he's running a 4.3, and he's just tore his Achilles. He's got the thing on. Like, it's unbelievable. But everything we're hearing from the Bills training camp-wise, like, aside from the C.J. Gardner-Johnson injury.
Mm-hmm. It's been clean for the most part. There's not been, I mean, aside from C.J. Gardner-Johnson, it's been very...
Coleman dropped one pass, and then that was that. That was over after that.
And there's not been, like, the offense is not Just, I've heard nothing about like struggles with anybody.
No.
And, you know, again, this goes back to the point, Sal, you can't really tell anything here. So don't, you know, place your bets on the Bills to win the Super Bowl because they haven't had a bad report from camp yet.
No.
Let us be clear. But it's good when you have no negative story aside from a possible injury to a safety.
Right.
That's a good spot to be in. It's all you could ask for from the start of camp. So let's just hope it keeps going that way as pads come on.
Right. That was a good point Sal made about Hairston's injury last year, watching that on Hard Knocks. And that was early in camp. It looked like it could be a lot worse. Everyone speculated it was like a torn ACL or something like that. And then he was playing again. So he was fine.
Right. It was he missed a couple weeks.
Yeah. And if Gardner Johnson misses a couple weeks in the beginning of the season and you actually get some time with Kilgore in the system in game time situations, is that really the worst case scenario?
If you can, I mean, the start of the schedule is
very tough.
A buzzsaw.
Yes, it is.
So it might not be the best time to throw a rookie in there that you weren't planning on having play.
Trial by fire, baby. That's all I got to say.
Right. If you do it and he's
good,
fine, or even good, then you really know that you've probably found something there. And that could be exciting.
And then you get a healthy Gardner Johnson back at one point.
Right.
That's a pretty healthy rotation they can end up with there. But we're going to take a timeout a couple minutes early here. We got some picks to make on the other side. Joe Calley, Owen Parker, Sports Talk Saturday. Last half hour-ish with you here on WGR.
Jim is a great guy, very cerebral when it comes to the game of football. Just knows so much about schemes, about why he's calling things. And I feel like the difference I've seen in him versus other DCs I've been with is when we're installing, like he's installing with the reason why we're installing. You know, this is never just putting a play in just to put a play in. It's each play has a purpose, has a reason, and he tells exactly what he wants out of us in that play. And when you got a guy like that, it's easy to play for because you know where you stand. You know if I'm doing the job, if I'm not doing the job. And so it's easy to, you know, go out there and play fast.
New addition to the Bills defense, Bradley Chubb at training camp at St. John Fisher University. Sports Talk Saturday, Joe Calley, Owen Parker here with you for one half hour more.
When I was grabbing that clip, I noticed he sounds so much like Von Miller, just like speaking, like listening.
There's the same cadence to the voice, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chubb, honestly, he's a player, should have asked Sal this, he's a player I'm really excited about. If he does what he was doing in Miami, maybe a little more.
Sure.
He's a huge impact on that defense. So
yeah, absolutely. We've endlessly discussed that position needing to improve and make more of an impact. And
right.
If he's what he was last year, that's an impact.
He was a nightmare for the Bills for a while.
Yeah.
So if he can just do that for the Bills, that's very good.
Absolutely.
So pick your poison, if you will. It's time to put a parlay together. Let's get some NFL music going. Let's have some fun with this because we went through, Derek and I went through last week, just the divisions. He kind of picked like loose winners to be revisited as the season got closer. I want to lock this down. I want to get ready. I want to put together a big winner here. Maybe look at some other futures to tie in as well. But we'll start with the AFC. Mm-hmm. As I pull up my list here, I'm navigating this app and I don't know where I'm going. So I'm in the thick of this right now. But why not the AFC East to start things off?
AFC
East. We'll do the hometown quick. We'll get ready there.
Yeah, we all know where we're going here.
Yeah.
Bills are taking back the division from the Patriots. I would think 12 wins probably gets it done. I think the Patriots are going to be good. But I think the Bills will reestablish their dominance in the AFC East.
Yes, I agree. Buffalo Bills. I think it's also the Patriots really seeing a hard schedule for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was the fourth place schedule. Drake the schedule May. He was crowned, right?
Right.
Still think they're going to be good. They're going to be like maybe how the Dolphins were contesting for the division, but they also did get a lot better. We can't discount that. Like, the receiving room's better.
Yeah, they're a better team.
So they're going to put up a fight. I think it'll be down to the wire again, but I'm with you. I think the Bills do come out on top. We'll go to the AFC North next. It has the Ravens favored, -112 here.
Mm-hmm.
Bengals second, Steelers third, Browns fourth. Of course, I think the Browns are where they deserve to be.
Yes.
The Steelers, I've seen a lot of people saying Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers might be able to surprise one last time. I don't see that.
I got
the Bengals, with
that,
their strength of schedule and who they have, and if Joe Burrow stays healthy, like, they have Sexy Dexy on the defense now.
Yeah. To me, this is
the Bengals' year.
This decision is between Baltimore and Cincinnati, and really I think what it is who is going to stay healthy. Is it Burrow or Jackson? I think that's what you're picking here.
I take Burrow.
I think
he's put up MVP numbers with no defense the last two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's due for the defense is a little better already than it was. If they could just get a stop or two for him, he wins, those 50% games go the other way, and then he's in the playoffs.
Right.
So give me the Bengals.
I'm with you on the Bengals. I like that pick.
Yeah.
I think their schedule, you mentioned it, is horrible, and they will... I think if Burrow is healthy, they will cruise.
Sure.
To 10-plus wins.
Without question.
And I think they will win that division.
Yeah. Over-under win totals will be another fun one to get to at some point as the season approaches. AFC South. This one can get a little interesting here. The Colts, where they ended up in the division, actually helps them. If Daniel Jones stays healthy and that Alec Pierce gets healthy, right?
Right.
You have Jonathan Taylor still. If they go on a hot streak again with a weaker schedule because of where they finished, I think they have a chance here, and they're plus 380. They're third favorite right now to win that division, of course.
Yep.
I kind of like the Colts, but I also, Houston with the defense, they re-signed Will Anderson Jr. They extended him. And then Jacksonville, they were in the playoffs last year, and they put up a fight against the Buffalo Bills.
They did.
They were good.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers is on the team still. They extended him, so... I don't know what to do with the AFC South. This is kind of tough.
It is definitely a tough one.
Could the Titans threaten?
No.
There's no not this
yet.
Year.
Not yet.
I'd say they're a year away from possibly
threatening. I like them to improve, but I don't think that they're going to be able to handle, the Houston defense twice.
Sure.
And, I don't see them winning the division. I could see them definitely improving on their season last year.
Right.
It'd be worse than they were.
It's kind of a tough ass to be worse.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting division. The Texans, C.J. Stroud's such a wild card to me. I lean towards the Jags here.
Yeah.
Because I think Cohen is undeniably a great head coach, and Lawrence, to me, has proven more than Stroud has.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that offense better than I like the Houston offense.
Yeah. The only thing I'm scared about is the Colts healthy last year. Look at where they were. They were winning the AFC until Daniel Jones broke both of his legs, essentially.
Again, though, that's another one where I liked what Daniel Jones did last year. Respect.
Can he replicate?
I don't know that he's replicating that again.
Yeah.
And I have much more faith in Trevor Lawrence finding a way to repeating as a 12-win team than I do in the Colts finding their way back to the success they had last year.
Right. You mentioned Liam Cohen, too. That's a huge factor.
Cohen is, I think, elite, and that is huge.
All right.
You've got an offensive mind like that. I really like Cohen. I think the Jags take that division. Are we doing separate ones here?
I'm gonna collaborate. I'm going the All Jags. Right. I'm good enough on that. This one was kind of a toss up. I might do a separate one myself with the Colts just as a hedge, if you will. But
right.
I'm riding the Jags for this one because I mean they're kind of undeniable with Cohen. I agree with
now
you.
Now here comes the
AFC West.
This is the toughest, I think, division to pick in the league. Maybe. Aside from, the NFC West, that's also absurd.
Well, we'll take this opportunity to, I guess, just chat about, like we have been, teams around the NFL. We'll start with the Raiders at the bottom. They're plus 2,000. Is Mendoza potentially going to start? A lot of discourse around national shows and all of that is they should just start Fernando Mendoza. Kirk Cousins should not be starting.
I saw a clip of Cousins doing some sort of footwork drill.
It's not the same
and
anymore.
And it looked like he was 90 years old.
Yeah. Post-Achilles injury, because he snapped his, too.
Yeah.
Not the same.
No, that's trouble. I mean, it's not like Kirk was exactly mobile before.
No, no. So but it's even worse now.
Right. It still will hinder him. I think they easily finish last in this division.
Yeah.
It'll
just be interesting to see the quarterback battle, because if Mendoza does start, does that juice him a little bit? Do the odds change?
It could. I mean, it could.
But he could flame out, too.
It changes their whole... I think it just widens the scope of their result possibilities.
Right.
They could be worse or better.
It extends the floor and the ceiling.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, the Broncos. They're the third play. Right now on the odds, they're third from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 225. It gets pretty tight here because their odds are pretty much the same. You're not going to do all that much choosing either one. No one's a clear, clear favorite. The Broncos, though, at 225, can they do what they did last year?
I think Peyton, in the similar way of Cohen, I will give credit to as an elite offensive play caller.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be considered.
They just kind of, they're kind of old, though.
A little bit. I do, like, Waddle is nice.
That is very, that's
they
right.
They bring in Jalen Waddle and, like,
that's
him
right.
and Sutton, and that defense is legit. They are scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
They are good. I don't know that I believe that they're going to beat out the other two teams in this division, though. I think the Chiefs are a wild card, but the Chargers, to me, are really interesting.
I'm picking the Chargers.
I'm in, too. Let's do it.
He-Man, If-Man, Justin Herbert.
Yep.
I got to say, we're seeing the clips. We've talked about it with Sneaky Joe this week of Harbaugh and McDaniel interacting on the field with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that just seems like two insane people who are both savants at their work.
Psychos.
Like, just
psychos.
It's going to work, right? Like,
yeah.
And Herbert just needs a good offensive coordinator. He had Greg Roman, and he was putting up good numbers, right?
Yeah.
Like, with McDaniel, with what he did with Tua, associate that with Justin Herbert, you immediately feel better about the Chargers. So,
for sure.
The Chargers picking the Chargers to win that division. To the NFC, if you're ready.
I am.
All right. NFC East, we'll start with.
All right.
Is it a bad thing? As a Bills fan, I know a lot of older Bills fans who were around for the Super Bowl years are going to hate me for this. I'm really feeling the Cowboys this year as a potential to win that division.
They have been plastered all over the talkie talk shows,
mm-hmm.
the screamy talkie talk shows.
Yeah.
And I mean, that offense, I think, is going to be
Dak, CeeDee, George Pickens.
Yeah.
Like,
and they had a good
Javonte Williams, and the run game was good last year.
Mm-hmm. And I like some of the stuff they did on defense. Like, Caleb Downs is a stud,
mm-hmm.
and that's a nice piece to bring in and add. And, you know, if they get that defense to an acceptable place with their offense, that's a scary, scary unit.
Right.
Them over the Eagles.
The Eagles, though, no A.J. Brown.
No A.J.
You only have Devontae Smith.
Yes.
Who is good. I'm not discounting that.
Yes.
He's very good.
Skinny Batman.
But Mekhi Lemon, if he pans out or not, that's now a question. And he's an interesting cat, to say the least, right?
Absolutely.
The Commanders, they might be there if they stay healthy. They're still a little older.
They are so, I mean, they just went so down the drain last year that it just was.
They were in the NFC Championship.
Mind-boggling. So I'm a little concerned about them. I think, what do you like, Dallas or Philly here?
I like Dallas.
I like Dallas, too.
I like Dallas. I think Dak, it's time. I got to be honest with you. We're talking about the top 100 list. Where's he going to come in? It's going to be high, right? People look at him as a top 5 quarterback in the league.
Yep.
They always talk about it, but he's got no hardware. He's got nothing to really prove that because he always ends up injured. He had that horrific injury a couple seasons ago. Mm-hmm. Then he's coming back from that. Cooper Rush is in a lot for him at points in their seasons, right?
Yep.
One full season of Dak with those guys, and the defense a little better than it was after losing Micah Parsons last season. They added a couple studs, like you said. I think the Cowboys are going to win the division this year. NFC North. This division's also a crapshoot.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
I'm looking at the Vikings here at plus 510, and that's blowing my mind that that's their number.
Well, they don't have a quarterback yet.
I know.
That's
but
the problem.
Yeah, I know.
Do you get in on them, though, now, expecting Kyler Murray
to
at plus 510, and then, Kevin O'Connell and Kyler Murray, we got to drop him down to plus 300 or something like that, right? Like,
yeah, there's too many. That division's too, I think, too strong.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm picking the Lions because
okay.
they have the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Yeah.
They're going to waltz right through that. They're a good team still, even without Ben Johnson. They beat Ben Johnson last year. With Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, isn't he holding out, actually?
He's holding in, but I would expect that gets done.
They're going to figure it out.
That's not, I don't think that they're losing Gibbs.
No, because
they're
they only have Pacheco if they lose Gibbs because they lost David Montgomery.
They're not playing with that.
Still have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jared Goff's a good quarterback.
Sam Laporta.
Laporta. I think they're going to walk that easy schedule.
All right.
That's probably
I'm
why
I'm a little
favorite.
Nervous about the Bears, but I will ride the Lions with you.
The Bears, though, first place schedule, right? They won the division?
Yes.
Yes? I'm almost positive they did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
The first place schedule. They had a fourth place schedule last season.
Right.
So I'm not discounting Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. They're good.
Caleb Williams is legit.
And Rome Odunze is healthy. His foot is fine, he says.
Yes.
So and Luther Burden as well. So, I mean, they have a really good team. I'm not trying to discount that. I think the strength of schedule, though, is going to play heavily into the Lions' favor. They're going to blink and win 13 or 12 games, I think. But we'll see. NFC South. Buccaneers, Saints, Panthers, Falcons. I hate this division because everyone wins with a sub-500 record. And it came down to the Panthers or the Bucs last season at 8-9. It was just disgusting.
Stinks.
Or 9-8. Brady, stinks. We talked about it for this week. Tom Brady went to the Super Bowl, not to the Super Bowl, to the playoffs at 8-9 on that team.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting.
It's crazy.
What do you see here, though? Tyler Shuck is being really pushed as like, oh, the Saints are going to be for real this season.
Uh-huh.
The Bucs, they haven't figured out anything with Baker contract-wise. He feels, I forget the word he used.
Oh, disrespected.
Disrespected, yes.
Yeah.
Disrespected.
And they also lost Mike Evans, and Vita Vea is also upset.
Asking for the way out, yeah.
And they're the favorite by a good margin here at plus 164.
The Falcons with Diego Pavia potentially, depending on what the quarter. Matt Ryan potentially suiting up for them again.
The Falcons quarterback situation takes them completely out of consideration.
The Panthers, Bryce Young not doing it for you?
No.
Not even after last season where they're close?
No.
No?
I got to tell you that I think I'm leaning on the Saints here.
Me too. I have them selected right now. I'm looking at it.
I don't like the Bucs with everything going on down there. I also don't think Bowles is that good.
No.
And I like
that might be where McDermott ends up.
Yeah. I think Kellen Moore is very smart. He was great in Dallas when he was the play caller there.
Mm-hmm.
I really like what he does. I think Shuck to me is maybe another one of these like guy that's decent enough that you don't want to just leave him at the wayside for a better guy, but he's not good enough to be that great.
Yeah.
But I think that's good enough to win you a horrible division.
Sure.
And so I'm gonna go with the Saints here on this as well.
Okay. I like it.
Saints to win the NFC South.
All right.
Now all here is just the gauntlet.
Yeah. I'm picking the Cardinals at plus 10,000. We're gonna supercharge this thing.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yes. LA Rams. Funnily enough, did you see McDermott visited with the Rams?
Yes, I did.
Man.
Yes, I did.
Get some defensive, you know, just chatter and all that over there. Looking at that defense, I mean, that's the one to take away from if you can. But
for sure.
We'll see where McDermott ends up. That was a conversation yesterday. Next season. NFC West. Rams, Seahawks, Niners, Cardinals.
Can we just not overthink this?
It's the Rams.
It's the Rams.
Yeah.
I think if you're picking this right now and you're doing anything other than picking the Rams, you're thinking too hard.
Yeah.
The Rams are the best team in the league.
I agree.
By a lot. Their defense,
and if they add Aaron Donald, that's still up
right
in the air.
Their defense already was pretty good. They added Myles Garrett.
The best defensive player in the league.
The best offensive play caller on the planet,
yeah,
in my opinion, in Sean McVay. They've got the MVP in Matt Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got weapons out the wazoo.
Davante Adams.
They are the best team in the league.
Yep. Yep.
So they are winning their division.
The Rams win their division. If you put $10 on this parlay, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a tail, $10 wins you $32,556 at this time.
Let's ride.
So we're going to ride with this. We'll see how it goes. It's a fun thing to do every year just because, you know,
yep,
it's a time.
All right, just to run through it one more time. Mm-hmm. AFC East winners, Buffalo Bills.
Bills.
AFC North winners, Cincinnati Bengals.
Who day?
AFC South winners, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
AFC West, L.A. Chargers.
Yes.
NFC East, Dallas Cowboys.
Yes,
NFC
sir.
NFC North, Detroit Lions. NFC South, New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFC West, the gauntlet division, the L.A. Rams.
Yes, the gauntlet.
And that is, I'm putting five on this to win $16,000.
There we go. And by the way, the Chiefs are evaluating Xavier Worthy now for an injury.
Oh.
Shoulder injury. So
Oh. Two
wide receivers down for the Chiefs at this point in time.
That's a tough one.
Not good. Not good. For them, seriously, not try to make light of injuries or anything like that. Seriously,
they're gonna call Stephon Diggs is what they're gonna.
That's 100% what they're gonna do.
They're gonna call Stephon Diggs.
Oh boy, looking at the confetti again. Except he's on the team. That's crazy. Anyway, we're gonna take a timeout. We'll wrap up Sports Talk Saturday on the other side. Joe Cali, Owen Parker here with you. You're listening to WGR. Wrapping things up here, Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Calley, Owen Parker, in for Derek Kramer on WGR. Thanks for coming in today, Owen. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
It's been a time. We've taught you how to make $32,000 if you bet a $10 parlay with us. That's super easy, you know, if things happen to work out. I'm excited. The NFL season fast approaching. The NHL season coming just as quickly. Starting to see the Sabres getting ready to sell single game tickets. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's moving quick. We're getting right back into it. I forget how short the NHL offseason is compared to the NFL offseason, especially when the Sabres are playing into May and almost June, right? Like, it hasn't really been that long.
No.
So it's kind of fun because just when you think you know everything about this team and who they are in the playoffs, this team looks entirely different, and they're about to start playing again.
Yep.
So we're getting right back into the thick of it. The dog days of summer, at least in the sports world, are nearly over. We have another month and a half of summer weather, I would say. So get out there and golf. Get out there and do whatever you want outside. Enjoy. Today's a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like low 80s, high 70s, I want to say. We've been inside since the temperature actually spiked up. Yeah, it's 84 degrees and partly cloudy. So perfect day to get out there and enjoy. But any closing thoughts on training camp week one? Any lingering things you want to throw out there?
No, just, thoughts are with C.J. Gardner-Johnson's
Achilles.
That's
going to be the big thing.
That's really that's all that's dominating my brain right now. Just don't, nobody else get hurt.
We might not find out from anybody what happens. We might find out from his live stream tonight.
That's
keep your
true.
Eyes on Twitch, everybody.
Yeah, I saw him actually tweet like half an hour ago.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson did?
Yes.
What did he say?
He was responding, I forget which, Tyrann Mathieu or, I think it was Tyrann Mathieu tweeted something about him and like supporting him, whatever. This guy's a dog. He's awesome. And he tweeted back, like, you're my idol. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nothing on the injury, okay. Obviously.
Did you see what Dawkins said on Up and Adams with Kay Adams?
No.
He said, it's quoted, Bills, Deion Dawkins to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You are the teammate I have been waiting for.
Mm.
So, Deion, as Sal mentioned, more positive thinker, right? So probably hoping that he's not severely injured.
That's quite a dynamic duo, those two.
Oh, my God. On stream? Have you seen that? You saw we played the one clip. Oh, the pizza's here.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
That's very good.
They're a great duo.
That's a podcast waiting to happen is what
that is. It's got to. That's got to be something they do throughout the season. Like a between two stalls thing, like how the Sabres did with those two guys.
Yeah,
the Snowman and C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
They will be really funny.
Unbelievable. If only Hard Knocks was this offseason. Oh. That would have been unbelievable to see those two. But we got to wrap it up here. We're against the clock. Joe Calley, Owen Parker, thanks for listening to Sports Talk Saturday. Thanks to all who called in, to Matt Schauff of Draft Sharks, to Sal Capaccio for carving some time out for us. You've been listening to WGR.